See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is Catherine Horan. And of course, with us infrequently is not with us this week is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati. So, but he is here in spirit.
He's with us in spirit.
Yeah, he is with us in spirit, and we have his pick is next time. So we do have his picks for next time. So, and they are shockingly, they're quite surprising.
He's with us in the Christmas spirit.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah, because his pick is Christmas horror. So
I feel like I have to keep reminding you two that it is Christmas time. I know this because it's freaking cold here, but in Burbank, it's probably like 78 and sunny.
It's going to be in the 80s this week.
Yeah, it's going to be 80s the next few days. And then I think this next weekend, it gets pretty cold, Joe. We're going down into the 60s, I believe, again. So
I have a polar bear skin on my lap just to keep warm right now.
It's cold in the morning. It's been in the 40s.
Yeah, it has been. God. It hasn't been.
I haven't seen a positive number in the mornings in a week.
I can see my breath when I go out.
Yeah, I almost feel like wearing a jacket. Or maybe zipping it up.
Out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little colder. I might have to zip this jacket up. Joe.
Matt.
What have you watched recently? Anything you want to tell us about?
Honestly, with the start of the holiday season and Thanksgiving and all the other nonsense, I have not watched anything horror related except for keeping up with Welcome to Derry, which seems like it's coming to a culmination point of some sorts. So still liking it, still anticipating watching it every week, or at least as I'm assuming there's only at 8 episodes.
I would think so. This next weekend should be the last, I believe.
Should be the end of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I have not heard if it got picked up for a second season or not. I can't imagine that it wouldn't be as long as they're willing to produce one.
I'm sure.
So the only other horror that I've been witness to is the college football playoff horror. And how badly Notre Dame was treated. But other than that, no, I haven't really watched much.
No. I know. I felt for you when I heard about the Notre Dame thing.
Yeah. So thank you.
Catherine,
we gave it a good old Irish goodbye.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything interesting you've watched recently, Catherine?
Same as Joe, just keeping up on Welcome to Derry. Watched the first couple episodes of Stranger Things. I did see The Running Man in the movie theater. Did either of you see that?
No.
No.
That was fun.
How was that?
I actually liked it. It's definitely closer to the story than the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie was. But it's good. I liked it a lot. It's Edgar Wright directed it. I like how I was hoping it would be a little bit more in the vein of Baby Driver in terms of using music for the action scenes and things. He does that a little bit, but not to the same extent. But it was fun. I'm glad we saw it. And then the last thing I watched, I just watched a silly old Hammer horror movie called The Man Who Could Cheat Death. It was on Tubi.
How'd he do it?
It made me think of the new Frankenstein movie. It's stuff that with like taking glands and transferring them, and you got a little surgery, you got to get a little mess. Every 10 years, you got to replace it. Other than that, what about you, Matt? What did you watch?
I watched Shelby Oaks, which is a new, it's sort of a mixture of found footage and a documentary and not either one. I feel like there's some, it's like a regular movie, but then they show clips from, that are like found footage, I guess, but it's kind of hard to explain, but it is, it kind of solves some of the problems of found footage. I didn't love it. It's about a woman who's obsessively searching for her missing sister, and there are nefarious forces at work in terms of like supernatural forces or whatever. I didn't love it. I kind of got a little bored with it. I did give it 3.5 cuts, so I liked it okay, but it wasn't great. But I know a lot of people have really liked it, and it's, you know, but it, I would imagine it's not a Joe movie, but if you are into found footage, and actually if you're into found footage, then it won't matter to you. But if you're not into found footage, it might be one that you'll like more than most, because it's not straight found footage. It's also just shot like a regular movie in a lot of places too. So it was okay. It was okay. I'd read a lot of good things about it, so I guess I was a little disappointed. But, and then of course, yes, I've been keeping up on Welcome to Derry, and that I, you know, it's, there's some things I really like about it, and there's other things I don't care for too much about it. But it's entertaining enough that I'll keep watching it. It's not as you know, as killer as I was hoping it would be in overall, you know, but it's fine. I think the whole military thing is a little, I don't know. I'm not sure where that's going. And some of it takes a little bit of the mystery and horror away from, you know, when you know too much, it takes a little bit of that away from it for me. And I really don't, I don't want to know very much. I'd rather have a lot of things I just don't know. I find that, I find that just a lot scarier, and I don't want to know. I don't like the backstory of Pennywise, that he was a regular person at one time, you know, or at least, you know, obviously what came, he's not really the guy that was there earlier, but I don't know. I do find that, because, you know, in the book he kind of changed forms, you know, and he chose a clown because kids liked it. But if, like, you know, Pennywise was out today, I don't know if he would choose to be a clown, because I don't think kids like clowns anymore. But
he would be an iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. But it's, you know, even having said that, it's still entertaining and I'm into it, and the cast is great. I like the kids a lot. I think the kids are all really good. I like that Hanlon, the kid who plays the young Hanlon boy, is really good. I think his dad is an interesting character, because he doesn't have fear. Like, whatever it is inside of me doesn't have the ability to be afraid, which makes him a pretty good weapon, I guess, against Pennywise, but it hasn't been utilized very much at this point. There's a lot of cool stuff that they're not utilizing, but, and then, you know, the girls are good, I especially like Hanlon's mom. I think she's great. Like, that actress is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, it's a good cast, good show. It looks good. And of course, you know, what's this? Bill Skarsgård is back as Pennywise. So it's definitely worth checking out. It's, you know, I don't mean to disparage it. It is still good, and I will keep up on it. And I also heard that
you bring up a really interesting point about the military involvement.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that I'm curious about too, is the government and the military is all over this. They are well aware of it. They are setting up base. They are doing everything they possibly can.
Yeah.
But something's got to happen, because they're not in chapter one or chapter two. So like 27 years later, they just forgot about it, or maybe they lost their funding, or, you know,
what happened?
There's got to be some sort of exit strategy so that they're no longer involved.
Yeah. And then, you know, that they're certainly not around for, you know, the actual it. So, but I don't know. It's interesting, and I definitely will stick with it and see where it's going. But it's not as scary as I want it to be. But let's see what else. Oh, and then also, I forgot to mention last time, I've been watching the show Pluribus, which is on. I might have mentioned it. Don't remember if I mentioned it or not, but it's on Apple TV Plus Apple TV Plus. And it is a series directed and created by the Vince Gilligan, who directed or who created Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And this is kind of a Invasion of the Body Snatchers kind of situation, mixed in with like that Soylent Green thing and all of that sort of stuff. It's a conspiracy, but it's not really a conspiracy because there isn't really a mystery. I mean, there's a mystery involved, but like everyone in the world, except for this woman and like 10 other people, I think, have been taken over by some kind of parasite that makes everyone in the world one, like they have one mind, kind of a hive mind situation. And she, the lead woman is played by Saul's girlfriend from Better Call Saul, the blonde woman who was a lawyer. She plays the main character, and she is kind of, she's lost her wife at the beginning of this. Some people didn't take to the parasite or whatever it is that got into them, and they died. And then some people, most people, the vast majority of Earth took to it and became, this one unit entity kind of thing. But they all have still the memories of the people that they're inhabiting. And then very, very minuscule number of people compared to the planet Earth weren't infected at all. And so they're just living life like, you know, most of them are living like kings, doing whatever they want to do. But it's very interesting. It's really good. I highly recommend it. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I think there's 6 or 7 episodes out now, and so they must be wrapping up their season pretty soon. But definitely worth checking out. It's called Pluribus, and it's on Apple TV Plus. And of course, I've been watching. Huh?
Rhea Seehorn is her name.
Oh, is that actress. Her name? Rhea Seehorn. Yes. Okay. And then I'm caught up on Stranger Things. Good, you know, season. I mean, it's kind of, it seems kind of repetitive. There's a lot of, we're a mess. What do we do? And then, oh, I have an idea. And then they stop and do a montage of their idea, and they happen to have maps of the town and the tunnels and everything that they can point to. And they explain their idea. And then they go do their plan, and the plan works, but there are consequences that then they have to go and figure things out. And then somebody, oh, I've got an idea. And so it's kind of over and over like that, you know, but it's good. It's enjoyable. And I think that, you know, it feels like a fun season, you know, overall. So I'm enjoying it. So I think our next batch of episodes is Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or something like that. Yeah.
Christmas Day, I believe, and then New Year's Eve Day.
Right.
25th and then 31st. Yeah.
Excellent. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I've been checking out. So, all right. Well, that brings us to our pick of the week, and that is Catherine. So, Catherine, take it away.
So, I'm very excited about this, probably more than I should be. My theme for this week is Norwegian horror movies, or I'm calling them skrek films, which is what the Norwegian word for horror film is.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's funny.
I've been using my Duolingo trying to learn Norwegian for a little over a year now, and it's been fun kind of diving into the culture and learning more about their day-to-day life, and any chance I get to kind of check out some movies or TV shows, I've been enjoying doing that a lot. So that's kind of what inspired my picks for this week. That, and it's winter and it's always really cold in Norway, so I thought this would be appropriate. So let's start off this episode with Troll Hunter. So this one, I thought, and hopefully, I know you love your found footage. I'm hoping you were able to enjoy this one. I thought this was a fun take on a found footage film. The premise here is a group of students investigates a series of mysterious bear killings, but learns there are much more dangerous things going on. They start to follow a mysterious hunter, learning that he is actually a troll hunter. And just some fun things about this. The director of this movie is Andre Overdahl, who directed The Autopsy of Jane Doe and The Last Voyage of the Demeter. And just some other fun trivia about this. Most of the actors in this movie are actually comedians, even though the movie itself is pretty serious and straightforward. There's not a lot of comedy in it. But the guy who plays the troll hunter, the power plant supervisor, the Polish bear supplier, and the troll hunter's boss are all comedians in real life.
Huh.
I thought that was kind of fun. What did you guys think? I'll start with Joe, knowing your love for found footage. What did you think of this one?
My very first note is, oh, good, period, found footage, period. Yeah, I didn't like it. Sorry. I mean, I know this shouldn't shock anybody, but it took 32 minutes to see the first troll. And then what I don't understand is the troll hunter guy, he's really standoffish for the first part of the movie. And then he talks to these kids. And then all of a sudden they're like, maybe something was lost in translation, but all of a sudden they're like part of his crew now and they go everywhere. And am I correct in understanding that when a troll like attacks something, kills something, that there's a group of people that try to cover it up from the townsfolk and they just replace like a dead bear there?
Yeah.
Why would that be something you would allow a film crew access to?
I think because he's looking to kind of break out of, you know, he wants to get some transparency and he's kind of fed up with all the bureaucracy.
Yeah, I think he's
blowing the lid off of it entirely.
I think he doesn't like how secretive it is, you know, and people have the right to know kind of thing.
It's just his persona, his story arc changed like on a dime. It's like at first, don't talk to me, I'll answer no questions. And then like within 5 minutes, it's like, all right, well, come with me and we're going to expose the whole seedy underworld of troll hunting. I know this is petty, but the damn boom girl, the sound girl that's with that crew, there's some scene she's like 10 feet, 15 feet away, but the sound quality doesn't change. So again, that's why I don't like found footage. There's times where they've got the camera pointed at her and she's like 10 feet away from everybody, but I can hear them talking like they're right in my ear.
Yeah.
I don't ever find trolls to be scary in the least because these look just like big Jim Henson Muppets. I realize they could probably do a lot of danger or a lot of damage, but they've got those big bulbous noses and they just kind of look adorable. You know, it's like if there was a 30-foot Easter bunny, I don't know that I would be scared of that, even if he's knocking my house over. Plus, I didn't understand the whole thing with the cameraman. So this troll like picks up their cameraman, like eats him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. All right. We have a casualty in this film. That's great. But then they make a phone call and the very next day they've got another cameraman. Like it's that we don't have to vet this person at all. They know all about the fact that we're troll hunting and they're just going to pick up where the other one left off. It's like when Landfill died in Beer Fest, it's like, don't worry about it. We got his twin brother in his place and he already knows who we all are. So there's none of that awkward getting to know each other section. So, and the new cameraman, or camera person, I guess I should say, there's so many scenes in this where like they're running, like at the ending when they're running away the cameraman, rather than focusing on the carnage that's in front of them with this giant troll that's hopefully going to die, hopefully going to get killed. She's, you know, like turns back and she's like filming the sound person and stuff like that. I'm like, look, point of the action. That's what we came here to see. I don't want to see you or your buddies. So, yeah, I don't know. Again, it's just, this falls prey to all the things I don't care about with, found footage. So it's just me. I'm sure other people would like this film. Like Matt probably likes this film.
I loved it. I was hoping people would
found one.
I loved it. I thought it was so much fun. I don't know. I didn't get hung up. I mean, I noticed a lot of those things, but I just didn't get hung up on them because I could see immediately this is just supposed to be a fun movie. And I don't think that the trolls were supposed to be scary. It's just a, I think it almost more of a, horror. I don't know if I'd say a horror comedy, but it definitely, I mean, the trolls farting, you know, and all of that, like it's certainly not taking itself seriously. Again, you know, I don't get your comment about the 32 minutes before you see a troll. I mean, that was like, we praise Jaws for the same thing, you know, like, you know, you give it some time before you see the troll, set it up a little bit. So I was fine with that. And then, but, once, you know, we do see, when the
Jaws
troll,
was finally showed, Jaws looked cool. Jaws looked haunting, you know, like he was going to kill me.
Right. This, but this is, you know, this is not this troll supposed to be that serious.
Mr. Snuffleupagus. Like, yeah. I
feel like
I have to wait that long for him.
They definitely wanted them to be goofy looking. But I thought, let's, the troll farts were hilarious. I even wrote, this is so much fun. I've kind of stopped taking notes. I just enjoyed watching this. The found footage camera problem, wasn't as bothersome to me in this one for some reason. And my biggest problem with found footage, because there's two that I do have a problem with. And one is recording of conversations that nobody would keep the camera on. And for this one, because it was I think sometimes you get around that by saying it is a documentary, but that they're trying to make a documentary. But the other thing is that they didn't really have many conversations that I felt like you wouldn't record, you know, or didn't make sense recording. And then the other thing that I usually have a problem with is just they always have these characters that are just so annoying. And there wasn't any annoying characters in this, you know. So many found footage movies, there's always, especially in a setup like this where they're going somewhere, there's always at least one character, if not all of them, that just annoy you to death. Mm-hmm. Or they make a joke and then the camera, you know, and then they do a quick edit to something else, you know. They say something that's might have been funny on the set, but, you know, in a movie isn't funny. Then they do a quick cut to something else. There was none of that in this. And I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought it was fun. And I love the scenery and everything too, but,
yes.
I like their take of, with these trolls, you know, the Christian blood, you know, mm-hmm. I thought that was fun. And what was there was something else that happened. I can't think of it now, but, this was a fun one. And actually I really liked this whole pick was good. All of these were, you know, I think that one of them stands head and shoulders above the others, but the other two, including this one, I think were really a lot of fun. I enjoyed them. Not perfect, especially one of the other two is certainly far from perfect, but I still had fun with it. And it was, you know,
So. Yeah, this was the only one I had seen before. So I was excited to share this one with you guys.
Yeah.
I love that you get to see the scenery. You get to travel all over Norway, see all the different mountains and different landscapes.
And a lot of times in found footage, you don't really get a feel for how that looks because they're on video cameras or phones or something like that. But in this, you know, it's supposed to be a documentary, so they have, you know, actual cameras that show things. So it was beautiful scenery, and I love the guy's truck. It was his truck was cool.
I don't know on any of these. Do we want to give away the endings on any of these movies?
Probably not. I don't know. Probably
not. I like
not.
The twist at the end of this. I thought that was kind of clever and just why the trolls are out and about and why they're being more destructive than they usually are.
Yeah.
I thought that was I like that. I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's go to the one that I have a feeling is the lowest on everybody's list. Let's look at Cold Prey next. I thought this one was
wrong.
No? Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
It's definitely lowest on mine, but
we already covered the lowest on mine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, fair enough. But I thought this one was a fun take on the slasher movie. So this one, we've got five young Norwegians. They're heading up to the mountains to go snowboarding. One breaks his leg and it's getting dark soon. So they have to spend the night in a big abandoned hotel that closed down 30 years ago. And they find out they are not alone. So let's see. Let's start with Matt. What did you think about this one?
It was fun. I had a fun time with it. It's not great, certainly. And there's a lot of dumb things in it, but it was fun. I had a good time with it. Once I figured out that it's just kind of a dumb, 2000s, right? 2000.
Yeah. Like 2006.
Yeah. It looks like a mid 2000s movie. Once I saw what it was, then I didn't worry so much about it. But I did have a good time with it. It was, it certainly had some good tension. I did think it was odd that they wanted to ski down the backside of the mountain, but their car's on the other side. And this isn't the mountain that they're skiing down. Isn't like a little hill. It's like it's a big mountain. And what did you think you were going to get back over that mountain, in the same day? What?
Right.
Yeah. Luckily there was that lodge there, I guess, unluckily too.
Right.
And then the guy, the killer, what does he just wait around for people to once every 5 years ski down the backside of that mountain? Let's see. Yeah, bone sticking out of a guy's leg. That's always a good one. I couldn't figure out the color scheme of this thing. It was very oddly like colorized. It was almost black and white. Everything was so desaturated. It was, and metallic looking almost. It was very 2000s for one thing, but also just overboard with that. I liked the cast though. I thought all of them were pretty good. Let's see. Oh yeah, room 237. That little on the nose.
Shining wing.
Yeah, and then the girls. The girl that didn't want to have sex with her boyfriend. That guy's just moping around so much just because she didn't want to have sex that night. Like, and he was like acting, all butthurt about it. And then
the
guy.
That unrealistic.
Well, I guess, but like he was so douchey. And then the dude who did break his leg, he seemed to be getting along pretty well for a compound fracture. I'm sorry. Even
that
if
alcohol
you
was pretty it, strong.
Yeah, I guess so. He's running around pretty well for like he maybe barely twisted his ankle. And the killer, was pretty cool looking. I thought that the mask concept
and his costume.
That was cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Would have liked it a little more with to be able to see the kills more. They didn't really show kills, in this, but overall it was entertaining. I liked it. It was definitely my least favorite of these three, but I did enjoy it. Yeah.
Excellent. Joe, what did you think?
First off, we didn't discuss the director's name. Roar Utog.
Gore Utog?
Roar. R-O-A-R. Utog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Utog. Yeah. Yeah.
How
yeah.
cool of it. The Swedes have great names.
Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. All right. I will admit this has some holes in it. It's like Swiss cheese. No just pun some. Intended. But I was trying to like read through some of the news articles that were like thrown at the screen at the beginning. There's like 110 skiers that have been missing in this area. It's like the Bermuda Triangle of Sweden. And I often wondered, why is this place even accessible? You would think somebody would say, hey, maybe we should go check out that lone abandoned lodge that's up on the side of that right. mountain. However, when they got there, I was hoping I'd see a nice snowboarding montage, and I got exactly what I was hoping for. I thought it was funny when the guy breaks his leg, they call it a small fracture. And I'm like, no, when you have a compound fracture and the bone's actually sticking out, that's not small. That's like seek immediate medical attention.
They have a better pain tolerance.
Yeah, that's true.
Small fracture.
Yeah. So if you're going to break into a lodge or a hotel that's got all these rooms, why would you put your injured friend on a coffee table when I'm sure there's a room with a bed somewhere laying around. Yeah, I would like
was
to.
Was he on a couch?
The first one they brought him right in, they set him on like a dining room table.
I mean, maybe that was to set the leg, but even then, after that, they put him on a couch, put him in a bedroom. Like there's a bunch of rooms there.
Yeah. Plus this is 2006. Why doesn't anybody have a cell phone? I was puzzled on that one. There were cell phones in 2006, even over there.
Yeah. Flip phones or whatever, I guess. Yeah.
I like the guest appearance by Chekhov's gun, which was great. How, you know, when they show you there's a shotgun shell, one lonely shotgun shell that they find in a drawer, you know damn well sooner or later they're going to have to introduce the gun that that's a part of, and they do. So that was nice. Everybody in this film is making extremely poor decisions. Nobody has a plan. That always bothers me. Matt, I have this note that says the color palette in this film is so gray, it might as well have been shot in black and white.
Yeah.
So I picked up on that entirely myself. When they were, so the 237 reference was fun, but when the girl and the injured snowboarder try to hide from this killer and they hide in the like dry storage pantry room, I was waiting to see like a canister of Tang or Calumet baking powder on the counter or something. That would have been even funnier.
Yeah.
And I will. So I don't understand the killer in this film. I hope I'm not giving anything away. I the character design, or at least the costume design of what he was wearing at the end, was really kind of cool. But don't throw that at me when there's 12 minutes left of the film. If you want me on board, tease me with that a little bit. You know, like show me the mask or something. That would have been kind of neat. But I know there's like two more sequels in this franchise.
Yeah, they made two more.
Which I don't understand. I'm sorry, I was about to say something really stupid. When the killer meets his demise, no shocker there. How could he possibly make a second and third film if he's dead in the first one? But then I remember, I've seen Halloween, and I've seen Friday the 13th, and that argument doesn't apply there either. So
I think the third one might be a prequel.
Actually is kind of intriguing. Like, right? If that's really the like case, what? I wouldn't mind seeing it.
I think Cold Prey 2 has the same girl in it. Yeah, Ingrid Bolso Berdahl.
She wanted to go skiing again the next year,
I guess. Yeah. Hey, let's go skiing at that same lodge.
I know this great place.
Oh, and then the third one doesn't look like it has anybody from the first two. So
yeah. But you know, I it's not great. I get it, but I did enjoy this film. I did have fun with it. I just, it's a typical early 2000s, for lack of a better term, slasher film. Exactly. So
And Matt, you mentioned in the Troll Hunter, you liked the characters in that movie. You didn't think any of them were annoying. And that's kind of how I found these. I was really expecting one in this group to be the obnoxious Jamie Kennedy character. And none of them really were. They were all
that's pretty true. Overall. Yeah.
And I like that they didn't exactly conform to all the stereotypes. They did a little bit. But, you know, like you mentioned with the blonde girl, I was like, usually she'd be the one sleeping with everybody. And in this one, she didn't want to have sex with
Although it was kind of paired off like Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Where you've got two couples mm-hmm. and then a fifth wheel.
Yeah.
Who's like the pot smoker or drinker or whatever.
He obviously has a crush on the main girl or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And I completely forgot. I wrote down a little trivia for each of these movies. So really quick on this one. They had mentioned in some of those clips they were showing at the beginning of the film, the little newspaper things, they mentioned something about some of these skiers had disappeared on Easter weekend. And in Norway, the big thing to do on Easter weekend is to read crime novels. So for whatever reason, well, there's a reason behind it, but Easter is a time when people head for a cabin in the snowy mountains or near the sea. And here, reading Easter crime goes hand in hand with great skiing conditions and eating chocolate or oranges in the winter sun. A few other countries have as many days off during Easter as Norway, and the length of the holiday means that they have time to read.
Hmm.
That's just kind of a fun little trivia fact there. And then just really quick, going back to Troll Hunter, I just wrote down just a kind of a quick history of Norwegian trolls. And apparently there are two types of trolls. There's mountain trolls and forest trolls. And they're generally depicted as large, dumb, brutish creatures akin to a large Neanderthal. So kind of, you know, what you just saw in the movie. And they are generally unfriendly and sometimes pose riddles to try and trick humans. And the ways to drive out trolls are you can ring church bells. And because as unchristian beings, trolls go crazy when they hear the church bells. And they are also repelled by lightning. And some legends attest that trolls can turn to stone when exposed to sunlight.
Hmm.
So I thought that was kind of cool. What they do in the movie is very much what the lore is. So that was cool.
Oh.
All right. So last but not least, let's go to The Innocents. I thought this was kind of a fun take on the creepy kid trope. So during the bright Nordic summer, a group of children reveal their dark and mysterious powers when the adults aren't looking. In this gripping and original supernatural thriller, playtime takes a dangerous turn. So, Joe, what did you think about The Innocents?
I have seen this before, and I want to... We actually probably should have cautioned people about this 2 weeks ago or last episode. I am not a cat lover.
Mm.
But even I found what happens to the cat in this film to be appalling and uncalled for and just disgusting. For as much as I don't like cats, I just kept telling myself, couldn't they have found another way to get their point across about the kid's powers or his evil streak within him? But I'm not about to censor anybody, but that just if you haven't watched it yet but you're intrigued by what we're saying and you want to go watch it, just be aware of the fact there is some animal violence in this film that's just a bit over the line.
Yeah.
So that being said, I really like this film. This is the second time I've seen it. Anna, the girl who, the older sister with autism, she, like the minute she comes on screen, I just feel like she should have been part of that 28 years later team at the end with the guys with the jumpsuits and the blonde hair. She just looked like she would have fit in there perfectly.
Blonde is so pale.
So I know there's a suspension of disbelief, but it still leads me to all sorts of questions. I can set it aside and still enjoy the film, but I am questioning, how do these kids get their powers, these telekinesis? Why are some getting some levels of it and some aren't getting others? All of it is not telekinesis, or is it? And then when all of the kids come back, because, you know, it's the summertime, so all these families are out traveling, they're on vacation. However, the last big scene of the film, all these families keep coming back, and you see kids starting to appear in the their balconies overlooking this central area where there's this mental battle going on. And it's almost as if the other children in the apartment complex can sense it going on. So does that mean all of the kids in the complex have powers, and can listen into all of this, or do they just have the ability to sense it? I'm not sure. I mean, even down to like babies screaming in the park when stuff's going on.
Maybe just a kid.
Yeah, it could be effective. Yeah, who knows?
Clearly, none of the adults have any sort of powers or capabilities at all. Right. Because I don't know what the hell's going on. Some of the things that Danny does is just so disturbing, but necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, the kid's basically responsible for his own mother's death.
Yeah.
He's a victim of being bullied constantly, but he can, from 40 yards away on a footbridge, snap a kid's knee, you know, just compound fracture, boom, right there, you're done. Just with his brain. And it's such a great display of his power. And I will say this too, it's smart movie making. You know, you don't need millions of dollars in special effects makeup to do this film. There isn't much in it other than the cat. But it was a great version of trickery. For even with the when he's initially starting to discover that he's got powers, and he has was it Ida was her name, I believe, dropping the rock, and he could push it away right before it hits the ground with his mind. You know, those are, I would say, relatively simple tricks that you could do in front of a camera and wouldn't cost you, you know, the money it would take to CG it for you. But it's a great film. I love it when the two sisters finally come together at the end to compound their powers, or at least that's what I was led to believe it was going on. But this is a really strong film. I believe I gave it quite a good review. It might have even been in like a top 10 or close to it.
Yeah, when probably this came out. It was on mine. Yeah. I think it was like number two or three for me.
Yeah, it was a really good film that year, and it's still a really good film this year. So I really like this one. I'd watch it again.
Yeah, man, what did you think about this one?
Yeah, one of my notes, my last note was, I love this even more the second time around. I thought it was fantastic. I caught little things. I think I understood a few things that I didn't catch before, maybe. I really just love the way European films portray children too. They're not little adults, you know, and they're kind of mean. Even just like jabbing ants in an anthill, that's such a little mean little kid thing to do, but they just do it because they're little kids, you know. And there's always more realistic, they're less idealized, they're not little adults, you know. I love, you know. And another one that was similar to that was what's it called, the movie,
oh, the tiger thing.
Well, that one too, but I was thinking of the other. I don't think it's Norwegian. It might be Norwegian or Scandinavian. I can't remember. Let the Right One In. One where the kids are all, you know, and even like American kids, they always have to be little adults, it seems like, or in American movies, or the bullies are just maniacally horrible, like just evil. Where in these, the bullies are just bored kids who are making fun of little punks, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just way more realistic. And the movie actually lets the kids like stop and think. You know, there's so many shots of the kids; they're not saying much because kids don't at this age don't have the language. They don't have the language to talk like little adults. So they do a lot of stopping and thinking. There's just a lot of shots of kids looking at things, and you can tell they're thinking. I love that. And then, yeah, at the end with all the kids coming out and the parents are oblivious, this is just like another hidden kids world, you know? Kids kind of have their own world that's sort of, you know, in their minds anyway, hidden from the adults. And, it's such a great ending, I think, too. And yeah, I think that little boy, the bad guy character, Dan. Is that his name, Dan?
Dan. Yeah.
He's really he's just he's scary little kid because he's not you don't know where the evil in him is coming from and that anger and everything, but it's obvious, you know, his mom isn't probably the greatest mom in the world, you know, and that there's no dad around. He's probably got kind of a crappy life, you know, and he's bullied, you know, on the playground by kids and everything. He looks different from a lot of these Norwegian kids. So it's not overt with the racism or whatever, but it's obviously he looks different and he gets made fun of, you know? And I love that. And then the little girl who connects with the girl who has, you know, who has autism. She's so great. Like, she's just so
loved her.
Yeah. She's so sweet. And, that whole thing with her and her mom that that little boy made him do, it's just so heartbreaking. It's such a great movie. And I really appreciated it quite a bit. So yeah. I'm really glad you picked this one.
It was one of my first notes was everyone in this movie is just fantastic. I thought all the kids were just amazing actors.
Yeah.
I love the mix. You get the mix of the different races and, you know, you get the autistic girl, you get the one what's her name, Aisha, she's got vitiligo, so her skin's got the different pigmentation to it. Ida's got the weird elbows when she's showing her friend, can you do this, you know, so they all have something different about them, but they all still come together and they are all friends.
And the girl who is the most quote unquote normal of the whole group is the girl with autism, her sister. And she's kind of also the one we really see everything, you know, through her eyes, you know, the younger, or I guess she's a younger sister. And she's, you know, technically, I guess you'd say, quote unquote, the most normal, but she doesn't have the powers, or at least I guess in the end, we kind of see that, or towards the end, we kind of see that she does, but they're not immediately accessible to her, like her sisters and the other kids, you know? So,
I wonder if, just to speculate on their powers, because that family just moved there.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's something like in the playground that's giving the kids in that complex their powers.
I don't know.
Maybe however, then
the combination that group of people had to come together to.
Yeah.
Maybe. I was going to say the only bad thing about my theory is if those kids who moved there got those powers because there's something in the area, then I'm sure the older kids that were playing soccer that were picking up Dan would also have the same powers or something.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah. And I love the psychic battle at the end. I know you kind of referenced that earlier, but just the idea of that they're just standing there kind of staring at each other.
Yeah.
Something's happening, but you don't know quite what, and you know, not everyone notices what's going on, and then it's done.
That's the part that I like the best, is there's this mental telepathic battle going on right out in public, and nobody knows what's going on,
right?
Except all the kids and the babies and the, you know,
right?
But none of the adults have the slightest idea of what's going on.
Exactly.
And then there's a dead kid just slumped over on
a swing set. They don't know.
Nobody knows.
Like, what's going on with that kid over there?
I think a little girl runs over to grab a ball and she looks at him and she's like, meh, and runs off, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
All right. So my little trivia for this one, just because of all the ethnicity, you know, the different races that we see with the kids in this movie, it got me thinking because, you know, I know when I think of Norway, I just think of the classic, you know, all white, blonde, you know, Caucasian looking people. But in 2025, the population of Norway is approximately 5.6 million, which makes me laugh because the population of Los Angeles is 3.9 million. So, Norway has had a steady influx of immigrants from South Asia, mostly from Pakistan and Sri Lanka. They also have a lot of people from China, the Philippines, and Central Europe and the Middle East. And according to Reuters, Oslo is the fastest growing city in Europe because of its increased immigration. So they do have a more diverse population than I had thought. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, good good picks. Thank you, Catherine, for these picks. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of fun. All right. Well, the next pick is Piscates, Mark Piscates, super fan. And he is doing some Christmas horror picks because his episode will be coming out on Christmas week, I guess, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on the very week of Christmas. Right. Let's see. After, the 23rd, actually. Yeah, his episode will be coming out the 23rd. So, wait. No, I'm looking at the wrong... No. Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong month. I don't know why
October his will be on the Thursday. His will air on the 26th. 26th.
Christmas is the Friday the 25th.
Nope, Christmas is on a Thursday.
Oh, I'm looking at 2026.
What year are you at?
Why am I all the way up there? I don't know. My
it's not that far away.
Calendar's all crazy. Yes, Friday the 26th. Yeah. Very good.
Yes.
So, and then the episode after that will be our top 10 of 2022 or 2025. What the hell's wrong with me today?
Wow.
2022.
What year is
that? I know. So anyway, these are Mark's picks. So.
Or these are the part picks that Mark told us.
Joe, could you pull up Letterboxd, because he didn't tell us. Oh no, he did. Sorry, he did.
Yeah.
All right. So Fat Man is from 2020 is the first movie. I did not know that this was a horror movie.
Did not either.
I'm assuming it has to do with Santa Claus, I guess. Should we check to make sure the Fat Man is a horror movie? Because I swear to God, I did not know that.
Actually, that one I did look up, and I did see, amongst other tags, it did say horror.
Okay. This is starring Mel Gibson, and you can find it on Prime and Paramount Plus.
Yeah, dark comedy, holiday comedy, action, adventure, comedy, horror.
Oh, horror was way down the list.
Oh, yeah. It was like the 18th tag on the list. So,
well, that's technically horror. So P2 from 2007, you could find this on Amazon Prime. I don't know if he means to rent on Amazon Prime or if he means it's available on Prime. Yeah. But. And then
that is horror.
The third
as well.
Movie is. And it is okay, good. And the third movie is called Hosts. That's hosts, like plural, from 2020. And it, don't confuse it, because there was also a movie from 2020 called Host that was fantastic, actually, a really good movie. But this is Hosts from 2020, and you can find it on Amazon and on Tubi. So those are your movies. Fat Man.
P2 is on Prime. Like, you don't have to rent
it's on yeah okay good and then Hosts from 2020. So I guess that's all we've got for this week. So go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. It goes to a good cause. And anything else, Joe?
Actually, Fat Man is on Netflix, apparently.
Oh
nice. Even
that's good. So you can find that on Netflix too. Yeah.
P2.
I'm assuming what is Mel Gibson playing like Santa Claus in that or something? Is that what it's called, Fat Man?
It's probably a ripoff of like Black Christmas or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And P2 is on Amazon Prime, Canopy, Tubi, Pluto TV, Peacock, Freevee.
Oh, it's on everything.
Everything.
Yeah, it's in your grocer's freezer section and the bird's eye section.
And Hosts, is it on anything extra?
If you could
stall.
Give me 1 second. So you, yeah, if you could stall.
Do.
It's on Amazon Prime, Tubi, Plex, Freevee, Crackle. Roku.
Oh, Crackle.
Oh,
excellent. Well, it's I everywhere. Gotta say this.
It seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
Yeah. All right.
It's not
well,
as fun when he's not here.
No, it's not. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. We. You know. It's hard to find a good bumper when he's not on too. He's usually good at providing some screwy thing he says at some point.
Well, for those of you out there listening, we will not talk to you until the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
So have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Right. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Yep, Merry Christmas.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
There's a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Save the square.